Ishu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Yuttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chevam Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udire Krishne Swadamo Pagate Dharma Gyanadi Visaha Kalo Nashta Drisha Mesha Puranarko Dunodita Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahamsyam Ekam Amalagyanam Param Giyate Tatra Gyana Viraga Bhakti Sahitam Naishkarmyam Avishkritam Tachtrinvan Supatan Vicharana Paro Bhaktya Vimuchyen Araha. Shlokam Ekam Tadardam Va Padam Padardam Eva Va Shradavan Yonushriyat Punatyatmanameva Saha Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi Shri Bhagavatam Mishyate Tadrasamrita Chittasya Nanyatra Syadrati Kochit Krishna Tulya Bhagavata Vibhusarvashray Prati shloke prati akshare Nana artakai Adi madhyante Bhagavate kai Vishnu bhakti nitya siddha Akshaya avyay Premamaya Bhagavata Krishnera Sri Anga Tahate Kahena Jata Gopya Krishneranga Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanditam Cha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Shesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine రసముఖ సంసక్తిం సఖి సంగా నివాసినిం తమహం సతతం వందే గురు రూపం పరం సఖిం యన్ కాళి రూపా శరీరన ధారత తన్ బ్రజ ప్రేమ మహానిధి కుచారికా కోంక పాతు భారత శ్రీ రూప్ శ్రీ సనతన్ భక్త రఘునాథ్ శ్రీ జీవ గోపాల భక్త దసరాఘునాథ్ ఇచ్చాయ గోసాయర్ కరి శరణన్ వందన్ జో హై తే విఘ్ననాశ అభీష్టపురాన్ వంశకౌపతృభ్యశ్చ కృపసింధుభ్యేవ చ పతితనాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమో మహాబలమే కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గోరచుసే నమః. హే కృష్ణ కరుణ సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధా నమో నళిన నేత్రాయ వేణువద్య వినోదనే రధాధర సురాపాన శలనే వనమాలనే తత్కంచన గౌరంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ విశ్వభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే. శ్రీమాన్ రసర సంరంభీ వంశీవతస్థితః కర్షన్ వేణు సునేర్ గోపీర్ గోపీనాథ శ్రియేస్తునః కనక జలద గాత్రో నీలశోనబ్జ నేత్రో మృగమనవర భాలో మలతి కుండమాలో తరల తరణ వేషో నీల పీతంబరేషో స్మరణ ప్రతికుంజే రాధికా కృష్ణచంద్ర. త్వేవస్మి త్వేవస్మి నా జీవమి త్వయా వినా ఇతి విజ్ఞాయ దేవి త్వం నయమం శరణంతికం. భజామి రాధం అరవింద నేత్రం స్మరామి రాధం మధురాస్మితస్యం వదామి రాధం కరుణాపరాధ్రం తథో మమన్యస్తి గతిర్న కాపి. We were discussing the introduction to Radha and Krishna's Rasa Lila yesterday. We are explaining how the Acharyas state that the Rasleela, Rasa Panchadhyaya, chapter 29 through 33 of the 10th canto, is the essence of the entire Bhagavatam. In fact, it is the quintessence of the entire Veda, Shruti, Smriti, Purana, Itihas, Ramayana, and Mahabharata. It is the quintessence, the essence of the essence. Because therein, in the Rasleela, one will find the greatest display of divine love, the most intense expression and show of intimacy between Bhagavan and his devotees, between his parts and parcels. Then we're explaining why the Srimad Bhagavatam is considered the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we're citing different reasons. So we left off with, well, let's review what they are. We gave different reasons which distinguish the Rasleela chapters from all the other chapters of Bhagavatam. One is that it contains the Pancha Pran. It's considered the five chapters represent the five life eras of Krishna. Pran, Apan, Saman, Udan, Vyan. And the very heart of the Bhagavatam is the life eras. You take away the life eras, Katam Hogya, Haribol, no more. It's called Pran. Pran is life. Pranava Sarvavedeshu. Krishna is telling in Gita, Pranava Sarvavedeshu. Of all the Vedas, I am the Pranava Omkara. What is Omkara? Omkara is the transformation of Krishna's Vansuri. Vansuri is in spiritual world, and it enters, crosses the power of Yom and enters this world, becomes Om, and takes us to Brahman. But the Prancha Pran of the Rasleela is not Om, it's Krishna's Vansuri. It's Vainovad. It's direct sound of Krishna's flute. You don't have to chant Om Bhur Bhuvaswa. Om Bhur Bhuvaswa. Om will take you through Bhu and Bhuvar and Swa and to Brahman. But Sharanagati, surrender to Radha and Krishna and Vishuddha Prem, pure surrender and pure love of God, as the gopis are showing by their example, their teaching, their expression, their activities. Such pure love will take one immediately to the spiritual world. You don't have to stop in Om Bhur Bhuvaswa Tat Sabitur. Sabitur is Radharani's Jyoti. Sabitur Varenyam. Varenyam, that worshipful. Varenyam, worshipful. Effulgence or Jyoti is the Varenyam of Radharani. So this is one point, is that it represents the Pancha Pran of the Bhagavatam. It is the essence. And by reading this over and over, what happens? That one gets pran. One gets life. Pran means life, sustenance, very existence. What is the very substance of one's existence? What is the one element that we can't live without? That's love. There's no greater love than Divya Prem, divine love, Krishna Prem. So that is the pran. We have material bodies, and our material bodies depend on these pancha pran, controlling all the movements and functions of the body, going this way, that up and down, and circular, like this. We can't even open our eyelids without the cooperation of pran. But the gopis' bodies are not material. Bhumirapo nalovayu. They're Satchitananda. We heard yesterday. Ananda Chinmayaras. Their bodies are Chinmayaras. Satchitananda, spiritual. So their pran is the Rasleela because their praneshwara is there. And for the gopis, their pran is not their pancha pran. Their pran is their love, their heart. He's the lord of their love. He maintains their love. He controls the movements of their love. With his, because he's praneshwara, praneshwara Krishna. So this is the pancha pran. Vishwanath Chakravartipad is telling in his Tika. And then the second point we mentioned, within the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are 18 different within Rasleela, there are 18 different Leelas mentioned or remembered or enacted. One point. And the second point, or third point, is that Yogamaya Upashrita, that Bhagavan Sri Krishna, he takes shelter of his Shakti. There's something he can't do. God can't do something? We'll find out when we study verse 1 how Bhagavan has to take shelter of his Shakti. His Shakti takes the form of Durga, Mahamaya, Yogamaya. And these powers or potencies, they control the universe. But in this case, we find that the Shakti is controlling Krishna. So this is unusual. In fact, Krishna takes shelter. Yogamaya Upashrita Ashraya. He takes shelter of Yogamaya. That's to be discussed. So that's unique. You'll not find 350 chapters of the Bhagavatam and so many stories and so many life stories of devotees are there, but there's nowhere you'll find the 18 different leelas. Dhruva Charitra, the story of Dhruv Maharaj or Narad, it's only about Narad. The gopis, it's a love story and they're talking about Varaha avatar. It's a love story and they're talking about Vaman avatar. And Rasleela is a sacred love story, divine love. And they're talking about Shishupal Mardana, the cutting off the head of a Rakshash by Krishna's chakra in Hastinapura. How does it fit? It seems like Rasabhas. It seems like combining salt with sweet rice. A rasa dance under the full moon night of the Sharad season is like the sweetest of sweet rices. And you throw salt or sand in there? What does Shishupal's losing his head have to do with Bhagavan Prem? Of course, that's an expression of his love also for Shishupal. Because his head wasn't any good. Shishupal's head wasn't any good, so Krishna did surgery. Replaced it with air. He gave him an airhead. You've heard this term, he's an airhead. So that's 18 stories. This is a review. Or maybe new for those. That's the third point. Then the fourth point that makes Rasleela unique is that the Rasleela, if analyzed according to Natya Shastra or Sanskrit drama, one will see, because if you're analyzing something, you have to consider the criterion, the Sarup Lakshana and the Tatastha Lakshana. What are the primary characteristics and secondary characteristics? What is the goon, the qual, so many things, the action. So when you analyze or study from that viewpoint of theater, we say theater or drama, a play, Rasleela fits all the criterion of a Sanskrit drama. There's five acts and there's five scenes in each act. There's a nayak and a nayaka, a hero and a heroine, and there's meeting, anticipation, purvarag, then meeting, then conflict, then separation, then reunion, then dancing and rejoicing. All the wonderful features of a drama. Full of action, music, action. What is a drama? Music, action. Sounds like an Indian movie. Indian movies, which are now the replaced drama, but this is modern drama, is the movie. Of course, each of us is in our own drama. Each husband and wife has his own drama going on. It's called melodrama. M-E-L-O drama. At any rate, so it has all the criterion of a Sanskrit drama, which illustrates the expertise of Shukamuni, Shukadeva Goswami, because he wanted to reveal the greatest love story in the universe to the people of the world. He saw it in his Spurti. Some acharyas are saying that when Shukadeva was approaching the Ras, I'll get to that later actually. I'll tell you that later. Approaching the Rasleela, I'll tell you because I may forget later. Shukadeva Goswami was compiling the Bhagavatam, or speaking on the Bhagavatam rather, to Parikshit. Then he was about to speak on the Dasama Skanda, 10th canto, the Rasa Panchadhyaya, Rasleela, Rasa dance. Then he thought, how can I discuss this? How can I write about this? Yes, I can look in Vishnu Puran. I can look in the Vishnu Puran because it's just Vishnu Puran, Vyasadeva has described Rasleela. And in a few verses, he's described in 50 verses. And yes, Vyasadeva has described Ras Lila and Hari Vamsh Puran in 25 verses. But I know there's so much more. But I can't reach it. The fruit is too high on the tree. Sometimes you see in the jungle or in the forest very ripe fruits high in the tree. And you can't climb the tree because you're not a monkey. So then you look and you only desire. So he was looking at the fruits of the Ras Lila and thinking how to speak on this, how to present this. So what did he do? What did Shukadeva Goswami do? He started praying to the Ashtasakigan Prarthana. He started praying to Radharani and the Ashtasakis. This is your Leela. This is your divine love dance. Divine circular dance of love in Vrindavan. Param 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 Dham. With the Param Param Parameshwara. Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna. How am I, a very minute, limited jiva, supposed to speak on this most exalted and highest and difficult to perceive and understand topics as a Ras Lila? Impossible. Therefore, prayer. Everyone resorts to prayer when they face impossible tasks. Right? How to pass my exams. I have my midterm exams. Oh Bhagavan, oh Mahadev, Kripa Karo. Oh Ramchandra Bhagavan, remember, I'm your devotee. Please help me pass my exam. So Shukadeva Goswami started praying. But prayer is not enough. You can pray till the cows come home, as they say in America. It's a village phrase. You can pray till the end of time. But still, your prayers may not be answered. It's Krishna's prerogative. Man prays, woman prays, and God hears or doesn't hear, responds or doesn't respond. He's Swatantra. He's independent. So he said, yes, I'm praying to the Sakis and Gopis of Vrindavan. But I actually have to pray that not that they give me the power of understanding. It's not an intellectual pursuit. It's not a matter of Sanskrit knowledge. It's not a matter of how much Vyakaran you know, how much Kavi and Sahitya and Vyakaran, grammar and literature and poetry. It's not how much you know. Sometimes in the medical field, because we studied medicine, they say your patients don't care how much you know. They don't care how much you know. They want to know how much you care. In other words, they don't care, oh, I know so much, I have a PhD in medicine. I don't want to know how much you know, but I want to know how much you care. So they... Understanding Shukadeva Goswami as Vyasadeva's son, he should certainly be qualified to speak. But he's thinking, the gopis must instill their bhav, their gopi bhav, that parabhakti, that brajabhakti, that shudabhakti, madhurya bhav, that must be instilled or placed in my heart. It's called avesh, premavesh. And then, my heart can be one with the dimmest reflection of the heart of the Sakis. You may have a mirror, darpan, and you shine it at the moon. And then you show your child who's saying, your child is saying, oh, mata, mata, chandra dedo, please, mother, give me the moon. It looks very nice. I want to play with the moon. Nimai Pandit. And also Gopal, Krishna Gopal, when he was a baby, he said to Yashoda Maya, oh, Maya, what is that rasgula? Dekho, Uto, rasgula, huge rasgula is rising in the sky. Oh, it looks very tasty, very cooling, because rasgulas are very cooling, dipped in gulab pani, cheese and gulab, very cooling. Oh, I want to swallow that. Can you just give me that one? Lala, that's Chandradev. He's Uduraj. He's the Lord of the night, the Lord of the stars. He's so big. How will he fit in your mouth? You're simply a little baby. Because Yashoda doesn't know that he's Virata Roop. And he's Ananta Bhagavan. That moon. But mothers have to be very smart. So then his mother, Yashoda Maya, she took a darpan, a mirror. She said, and she held it to the moon and lit like that. And he saw the reflection. Oh, the moon is there. Oh, I have the moon in the darpan. So some reflection. Shukadeva Goswami was praying to the moon-like hearts, the moon-like hearts of the Sakis and Radharani. Please, my heart is Cheto Darpana Marjan. Cheto Darpana Marjanam. Bhava Mahadavagni Navapanam. My heart is something clean. Something. And will you please shine your love light on me? Shine the light of your Chandra Prem Jyoti. That beautiful prema-filled heart. Just let me catch one beam or one ray in my heart. Then it is possible. With that touch, that moonbeam, that prema-ankur, that prema-kana, that ray of prema from your moon-like heart will empower me to enter the Rasa-lila in a Sakhi Sarup, and then I can understand the Rasa-lila. And then I can perceive something of it and then speak about it to Maharaj Pariksit. This is told in some verses. So we're discussing how it's a drama and meets all the features. These are simple reviews. We already reviewed this before. Then yesterday we described how the Rasa-lila had, within it, it has the eight features of a love story. Any true love story has eight different features. Remember? Anticipation, awakening, anticipation of love, the awakening of love, the meeting the beloved, and then there's some dialogue, and then there's some conflict, and then there's some separation, then there's some loss, and then there's some reunion, and then there's rejoicing. Was that eight? Ashtachakki Vrindaki. So this means it starts off with you awaken love, and then the lover disappears, Krishna leaves the gopis, and then they're separated, and they, oh, I feel so much loss, oh, Krishna. And then they sing out their hearts in vilap, in separation, in gopi geet. And then he reappears, so there's reunion. And then the sorrow is over, the torment is over. And they dance through the night for millions of years, rejoicing in love and celebrating divine love. So these are the eight features that we discussed yesterday. Then we are describing how, this I think is a sixth quality which makes the Rasa-lila unique. The Rasa-panchadaya, five chapters, makes it unique in all the chapters of the Bhagavatam and practically the entire Vedic literature. All these features we're mentioning. In the Rasa-lila, one finds revealed the greatest devotees of the Lord, the topmost lovers of God, Bhagavat premis, Krishna premis, the most dedicated, the most surrendered, the most charming, the most beautiful, the most playful, the most intimate devotees of the Lord. Because they share their hearts, their bodies, their minds, everything they offer for the divine pleasure and satisfaction of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Many of us are devotees, Ram Bhaktas, Vishnu Bhaktas, Krishna Bhaktas. But have we offered everything to our Ishtadev? Have we offered everything? Our mind, our heart, our words. We offer some prayers and some donations and some brats and some yatras, but not everything. And we have somewhat of a distant relationship with our Ishtadev. Shantabhav or respectful, adoring, opulent, our Ishtadev. Our Rama is majestic, powerful, grand. The Lord, the Maryada Avatar, the Lord of Law. He is the Lord of Law. So it's very distant. But Krishna, He's the Lord of Love. Not Law, but Love. Because they say that in Vrindavan, in love there's no rules. So Maryada Avatar, Maryada Purushottam Shri Ram, He's the Law God. He establishes the law. Yada yada hi dharmasya ganhir bhavati bharata abhyutanam sa dharmasya. It goes like this in Gita. It says, whenever there's a glani, a break in dharma, then great avatars and expansions of God come and establish it. Krishna didn't come to establish any laws. Krishna came to stretch our understanding of law. There's mundane law and there's spiritual law. Mundane morality and spiritual morality really stretches our minds and hearts. And Krishna didn't come to uphold justice, although he killed so many rakshas, to protect his devotees, because they are harassing the Brijvasis. And our Krishna, our Vrindavan Krishna, he didn't travel all around going to forests and killing rakshashis and witches. He stayed in Vrindavan. But if some demon came to attack his devotees, then he would be like a lion and assume his Vishnu roop, Chaturbhuj Narayan, and eliminate them with all the power of Vishnu, omnipotency. But his main duty in Vrindavan was to play. So let's hear more about the distinguishing qualities of these great devotees of the Lord, the Braja Gopis, and especially Radharani. When we're hearing about love stories, the tendency is to compare our love stories or our love relationships with the love of God. Then we think our love, in many cases, is actually lust. So what is the difference between gopis loving Krishna, the Braja Gopis, the Chinmoy, they have Chinmoy Dehas, spirits, their bodies are made of Satchitananda, eternal bliss and knowledge. What knowledge? The knowledge of prema. They don't know technology, they don't know BCom, they don't know MBBS, but they have knowledge of the science of love. They're the greatest masters. They have triple PhD in Krishna prema. So much they have mastered this knowledge of prema, that they can control God. Because knowledge gives power. When you have knowledge, you have power. And with power, you control. And with control, you enjoy, exploit, live like a king. But the gopis' knowledge produces the realization. The gopis' knowledge, which is topmost and supreme. Raja vidya raja guyam pavacham paramam bhavan. Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita, raja vidya raja guyam pavacham paramam bhavan. What is the king of knowledge? What is raja vidya raja guyam? What is the most secret? Guyam. Like there's a verse in Puran that says, dharmena tattvam nihitam guhayam. Dharmena tattvam nihitam guhayam. The truth of Dharma, the Siddhant, tattva, Dharma Siddhant, it's not so obvious, it's not so clear-cut, or visible, or tangible, or perceivable by our mundane calculation, by our mundane investigation. It is beyond the reach of science, it's beyond the reach of reason, it's beyond the reach of logic. One can only reach the lotus feet of the Absolute Truth by surrender, by Shraddha and Sharanagati, by faith, pure faith in God and pure surrender. One can understand the Dharma Tattvam. Nihitam Gohayam. It's hidden in the hearts of the sadhus, the saintly people, because they surrendered their Sharanagati Jeeves and their Shraddhalu Jeeves, they're taking full shelter of God and surrender. So that surrender and that faith reveals the truth. Prakash. The gopis are completely free from lust. Their love is not lust based. Their love with Krishna is based on service, not on exploitation. Practically all the relationships in the material world, especially so-called love relationships, husband and wife, at some point, at some level, one way or another, there is lust. No one can argue. At some interval, at some time, day or night, there is the element of lust. What is lust? I think we know. Lust is a fire top. Lust is a pain. Lust is agitation. Lust is lacking. It means lacking something. Lust means unfulfilled. Wanting, needing. This is lust. And the main characteristic of lust is that it's selfish. So in every so-called love relationship, there is some lust and there's selfishness. What do I get out of this love relationship? If I give my life to you, what do I get? You scratch my back, and I scratch your back. If you stop scratching my back, then I say, bye-bye, divorce. Modern style, irreligious style. So the gopi's love is not selfish, because the point I'm making is every material love relationship, there's some lust at some point in the relationship, and the overall exchange is some selfishness. If you honestly can analyze love relationships. Now we contrast that with the Braja Gopis. They're divine lovers. They're the lovers of God. And there's not a trace of lust. There's not one drop of lust in the relationship. Why? They are lust-free. To the ordinary person, the gopis' exchanges with Krishna, the rasa dance under the full moon night, this is, wow! This is a great place to enjoy, to express all your lust. One handsome, daring, charming, robust, beautiful, powerful, enticing, enchanting man, Purusha, Krishna, Shyam Sundar. Every feature of his body is dripping with love, dripping with attraction and beauty. He's saturated with the highest form of love. He plays the flute and he calls you. And all the women gather around him and say, yes, we've come to serve you, offer ourselves to you. And he says, oh, that's very nice. Oh, why have you come? Okay, I'm going, bye. Then he disappears. Because Krishna doesn't have any lust. So there they came, and that gopi's love is not lust, it is pure love. Why? Why is it pure love? It looks the same as ordinary love. Why is the Ras Leela highlighting the Braja Gopis? Why is it highlighting? Of all the devotees, the Bhagavatam is full of devotees. Dhruv is a devotee. Prahlad is a devotee. So many devotees throughout the 12 cantos of the Bhagavatam. But it seems like they're fairly moral and regular people. And we get to the 10th canto, Ras Leela, we find that the gopis who seem immoral and they're married to someone else, the gopas, and they're running around with an unmarried boy at midnight and dancing and ran out of their homes. And of all the comparative devotees in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's practically hundreds of them, or at least scores of them, all the acharyas of all sampradayas and the Puranas, everywhere they're glorifying the Braja Gopis as the param 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 bhakt, the topmost devotees of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Because they are totally dedicated to the Lord. Totally dedicated. Because this world is basically moving around lust, anger, and greed. It looks the same. They come out to the rasa dance when the gopis come. There's no lust in their movements. They only come, Krishna, we've come to please you. Whatever you want, we don't want anything in return. There's nothing from our side. We don't want any payment or any maintenance. This is Dalsi Shulkaka. Shulkaka says, we're unpaid, we're serving you, we don't even take paycheck. Is there any servant in this world that would render service in your house without a paycheck? The gopis say, we've come to serve you with our minds, our hearts, our bodies, our pran. We are your servants. Dasi asmi. I am your dasi, I'm your servant. They were totally selfless. Can we find one person in the material world who is selfless, has no motivation, no desire for profit, or adoration, or distinction? You can raise your hand and say, oh, there's so many beneficent and compassionate welfare workers who have graced the planet to help the poor and the downtrodden and to feed the hungry. So many types of people. And everyone says, oh, they're a real humanitarian. That woman, that man in 1920s, 50s, all different times. There's always, okay, I accept they were great humanitarians. But are they totally selfless? Do they have any desire for recognition? To get the Pulitzer Prize Award? Or you get the Nobel? Maybe I'll get the Nobel Peace Prize for being such a good Samaritan or a good helper, welfare worker. Or maybe I'll get my name in a newspaper for all the food I distributed. Who can analyze the psychology of why people do what they do? But acharyas have. The shastras have. Generally, we do what we do. We move where we move. We say what we say. We act what we act. We walk what we walk. Because there's four motivating principles. There's four motivating principles which run the human being. What are they? Lust, anger, greed, and envy. Think about it. We run to work day and night because of greed, lobe, paisa itcha, lacks itcha, lobi, lobi wala. I have a lakh, I want 10. I have 10, I want a crore. So the gopis, kam, krod, lobe, moha, matsarya, sab chordye. Nothing. They are niskinchan. Niskinchan sadhus. No long beard. No rudraksha beads. No long hair. No saffron cloth. Just kanchuli and chunari. Churning yogurt. So they are lust free. There is nothing. They're special. So the basis of all our activities and our so-called love relationships is I like it. I want it. I desire it. I need it. Have you ever heard these phrases? I like it. I like it. I want it. I need it. I can't live without it. The gopis have no want. Niskinchan. Nothing of this world. Name, fame, power, money, influence, nothing. Nadana Najanam Sundaram. Gopis. Nadana Najanam Sundara. They don't want beautiful men or wealth or position. Because they're not selfish. They don't. Everything they do, every step that gopis take, when they comb their hair or they wash their face or decorate their eyes, they're not doing it because I like it or I want to do it or I need to do it or I have to do it or what will people say if I don't do it? What will people say if I don't dress up? Everything they're doing, every step the gopis take, every word the gopis speak, every thought the gopis think, every desire the gopis have, every movement of the gopis, every expression of the gopis is selfless. It is only for the pleasure and happiness of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. This is unique. They appear to be simple, village, uneducated village girls, choris, gwalis, braj choris, brajaramani, a little older than a chori, brajaramani. But they're nothing in them. So they're the basis, what the basis of their operation, the basis of their movements, it's their selfless desire and their dedication to please Krishna. Very exemplary. They're not to be cursed and not to be rejected and, oh, it's immoral. The gopis are to be worshipped. The gopis are to be respected and followed. You want to be a Bhagavan Premi? You want to be a Ram Bhakta? A Vishnu Bhakta? Do you want to know what is the standard of excellence? Very common term now. Standard of excellence. Do you want to know what the standard of excellence is in love of God? You want to be the best devotee of Ramchandra? You want to be the best devotee of Lord Vishnu Narayan, Lakshmi Narayan, And study the gopis' hearts. Study the gopis' lives. Study the gopis' movements. They're the purest devotees, the most dedicated devotees, the most surrendered devotees, the most charming devotees, the most beautiful devotees. They live and breathe for the happiness of Krishna. When they're sleeping, they're dreaming of service to Krishna. Oh, when I wake up, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. They do so much service in their dream. My Guru Maharaj, he was a Pracharak. He was Jagat Guru, Srila Prabhupada. And he was traveling everywhere, always prachar, preaching. Vaishnav, Kripambudi. Vaishnav, Kripambudi. The Vaishnav is Ambudi. He's an ocean of mercy and compassion for the conditioned souls. Traveling everywhere, all the countries, at an old age of 80. Why? Because of his love. To give the message of Godhead. To give the teachings of Srimad Bhagavat Puran, Paramahamsam. Paramahamsa Samhitam, and to teach Bhagavad Gita as it is. Sarva dharman prityaja mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishami ma shucha. Give up everything. Surrender to Krishna. No other shelter. Guruji's teachings. So much he was absorbed in his seva, prachar seva, for his guru's pleasure and for Krishna's pleasure. When Guruji was dreaming, sleeping at night, he was preaching. He was preaching to conditioned souls, to the Buddha Jivas, preaching Bhagavad Gita. And he's speaking, he's sleeping and shloka, he's speaking Gita shlokas and saying, what are you talking about? Don't you know? Aham Brahmasmi, you're not the body, you're a spirit soul. And his servants would be listening, his servants were outside of his room. Oh, Guruji, is this 1 o'clock at night? And Guruji is giving prachar? But who? Who is he preaching to? He's in his room, on his bed. And then they would look slowly. Prabhupada would be sitting up on his bed. My Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, be sitting up in his bed with his eyes closed. You don't know. You must surrender to Krishna. Similarly, the gopis, they were absorbed even when they're sleeping, dreaming about Krishna. Even the acharyas have described what they're dreaming about. They're dreaming about their service to Krishna. Swapna Vilas. Swapna Vilas Amritam. Swapna Vilas Amritam. Vilas, loving service to Krishna. The nectar of that. They're dreaming. Well, when I meet Krishna, I will sing this raga and I will dance with these mudras in the Ras Lila and I will make these expressions. And he'll be so satisfied and his heart will rejoice so much and he'll feel so happy. That's how they would pass their nights. And what do we dream about? You know. Better than I doubt we dream about serving Krishna, either by preaching or by intimate seva in Madhurya Bhav. So they have no selfish desires. Now, when we study bhakti, there's Vishnu bhakti, Ram bhakti, Krishna bhakti, and Prahlad Maharaj, Bhakta Prahlad, he has analyzed bhakti. Bhakti is unlimited. Bhakti is transcendental. Bhakti is the expression of the Atma Dharma. When the Atma is surrendered to God and expressing its nature, this is bhakti. Bhakti means transcendental love of God. Transcendental divine service to God. Bhagavan, Vishnu, Ram, Krishna. So the gopis, in this analysis of bhakti, Prahlad Maharaj explains Navavida. Navavida bhakti. Nine limbs of bhakti. What are they? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Sandasyam, Sakyam, Atmanavedanam. Atmanivedanam. Atmanivedan. This is the last stage of bhakti. And in one sense, this is where bhakti really begins. Atmanivedan. Absolute dedication and complete surrender to God. Man, tan, dan, Krishna samarpan. Our mind, our body, our words, everything dedicated to the pleasure and happiness of Bhagavan. Bhagavan Toshan. Now, Acharyas have explained that the gopis' lives, the gopis, they're selfless. The gopis' selfless lives of dedication for the absolute, unlimited pleasure of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. They set the standard of excellence for this last stage of Navavida Bhakti. Atma Nivedanam. For some of the reasons I've already given. So this is another special characteristic that distinguishes why the Acharyas say the Braja Gopis are the Ras Lila reveals the greatest, best, topmost devotees of the Lord. Because it reveals the Braja Gopis, that hidden secret of Vrindavan. Vrindavan is hidden in the Bhagavatam and manifest in the 10th canto. 25%, one quarter, 25% of the Bhagavatam is the 10th canto, Krishna Leela. Dwarka Leela, Mathura Leela, Braj Leela. So you see how important this Leela Vichar. Leela Vichar, this Krishna Leela Vichar is so important that Shukadev dedicates, Shukadev Goswami Pad, Shukamuni, he dedicates 25% of the 12 cantos of Bhagavatam to describing Krishna Prem. How much we consider it and should understand it. So this is the ninth or the last stage of bhakti. And this Atmana Vedanam is also known as Para Bhakti. We have bhakti. Everyone's heard he's a bhakt. Krishna bhakt. But he's a Param bhakt. As you know, Param. Param means upper, upper, upper. Top, top, top. Topmost. The best. The ultimate. The zenith. The peak of devotion. This is the what it means. Para bhakti. So that you can have bhakti, but not para bhakti. There's so many divisions. There's karma mishra bhakti, gyan mishra bhakti. There's dasya bhakti. There's sakya, vatsalya bhakti. Then there's madhurya, madhurya bhakti. So this atma navedanam, this last stage of devotion of the gopis represents para bhakti. And that's mentioned in Bhagavatam. This is the topmost expression. The highest expression of love of God is called para bhakti or braj bhakti. And this is what the gopis are exemplifying. And when do you see that? When do you see the gopis exhibiting this atma navedanam? In the Ras Leela, the very beginning of Ras Leela, Krishna plays his flute. Bansuri. Bansuri Nad. Bansuri Vad. And then what happens is the gopis hear it and they give everything. They leave everything. Laja Dharma, Patni Dharma, Varna Dharma, name, fame, shame, everything they leave. Because they're totally surrendered to God. Because they understand the real identity of God. He is the Supreme Swami, the Supreme Husband. He is the Supreme Protector, Relative. He's everything. He's the Paramatma. So Krishna called them and they ran. So no one and nothing could stop the Braja Gopis when they heard Krishna's flute. And one Acharya was explaining that when a jiva, we are jivas, we are conditioned souls, subject to birth and death, old age and disease, janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, dukkha, doshano, dharshanam. So many miseries we undergo, so many sufferings, difficulties, anxieties, tensions, setbacks, losses. It's a struggle for existence. Prakriti stanikarshati. But as Krishna called the gopis with his flute on that full moon night of the Sharad season, at some juncture of a jiva's sojourn through the material world, he will hear the sound of Krishna's flute in his heart. Krishna's flute will come as a voice. And Krishna in the heart, Paramatma, Antaryami Sri Krishna, He will speak to that jiva in some life, in some planet, at some time in eternity. When the time is right, He will call, Oh conditioned soul, Oh my son, Oh my daughter, Oh my, you are my relative, you are my part and parcel, you are my beloved. Please, I'm calling you by your name. You please come to me. And when one really hears, when a man or woman of this world really hears the call of God in their heart, they hear it and they accept that invitation of God, then no one and nothing in this world can stop that jiva, that man or woman, from running to God full speed. No relationship, no consideration, no position, fame, what will so-and-so say, they will run. It's very rare. I'm not advocating that everyone says, oh, all the husbands tonight will say, oh, Patni, Suno, I heard Krishna's call. Krishna called me, now I'm running away. So you pay the bills. You pay the bills, you maintain the family. God is calling me. So he runs away from Bombay, he goes to Delhi, and he meets another girl. That's not the idea. When God calls you in the heart, then you run away from everything and run to God. To love Him, to serve Him, to surrender unto Him, to dedicate your entire existence to Him and His pleasure. Be it Ram, be it Vishnu, be it Krishna. In this case, it's Krishna. Krishna Sharanagati. Has anyone heard the flute song of Krishna? Raise your hand. Maharaj. He's too tired. So you're not sitting here unless you heard. In case you're too shy to give the answer, I will answer your examination for you. We all of us have heard the flute sound of Krishna. We have heard the invitation from Krishna to come. Come to me. Come to my Vrindavan. Come dance with me. Come celebrate love with me. Come kiss me, embrace me, swim with me, play with me, eat with me. Come! And what is the form that sound of Krishna's flute takes in the ears of all of you? Guru Vani. Guru Vani. Guru Agya. Guru Vani is the sound of Krishna's flute. It is sprinkled with the Vansuri Nad, the Guru Vani. And the Guru Vani is sprinkled with the pollen particles that are collected at the feet of Shyam and Radharani. So when that, all of us have heard the flute. We were running after Krishna. Maybe some of us are walking. Some are walking. Some are crawling. Some are being carried by a stronger friend. But all of us, one way or another, are going back home, back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki. So the gopis heard the call. Sometimes you also get a call, if you know what I mean. Nature. So now, as I mentioned earlier, the highlighting of the gopis' significance of the whole Bhagavatam is that the expression and display of their divine love, their Krishna prema, is so amazing, mysterious, captivating, attractive, satisfying, and inspiring. When you read about a great person, you at least get a drop of inspiration. At least I hope so. I wish I could become great like that. A compassionate person, a kind person, a charitable person, a loving person. But I'm not. So their whole lives, they are exemplars of pure love of God, of the highest expression. So when we read about them, we get inspired. But then, what they're teaching, what the acharyas are teaching, that to understand this greatest expression of divine love, that can only be done if one takes shelter of the Vraja Gopis. Because only by their mercy can one understand Krishna's Rasa-lila. And I mentioned that point in the beginning about Shukadeva Goswami, that when he went into Lila Smaran and entered Samadhi on the Rasa-lila, and he was praying to the Gopis, become Tanmoy, become one with my heart. May a drop or a ray of your love fill my heart with some Gopi Bhav, Parabhakti, Braj Bhakti. Then I can perceive, then I can understand the Ras of the Rasa-lila. Rasa-lila is described in Hari Vamsa Puran by Vyasa and Vishnu Puran, Padma Puran. But there's something missing. Vyasa was not satisfied and he revealed his mind. And then Narada Muni, his guru, said, "O Vyasji, you have described Krishna Lila, but you have forgotten to sprinkle those descriptions with ras." So then he went into meditation. And in Samadhi Bhashya, the language of Samadhi, Vyasadeva wrote the Dasama Skanda and the Rasa Lila. Now his son, Shuka Muni, is supposed to speak on this Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit in the remaining days of his life. So he was thinking, I'm not Vyasadeva. I am not the literary incarnation of God. I am his son. Of course, that's a good connection. Good qualification. S.O., son of Vyasadeva. So I must pray to the Gopis, because only by their mercy can I understand this Rasa-lila. And when he prayed like that, then what happened is that the Gopis blessed him with their mercy. And in his meditation, Shukadeva Goswami, in his meditation, he saw himself in a Sakhi Roop as a female of Brajaramani, a female Gopi of Vrindavan. He saw himself. Himself became herself. He became she. Shukadevi. And there's no name given. Now, with that bhav, because first comes bhav, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajit nanti kalevaram. Bhav gives body. First bhav, love, feelings, sentiments, surrender, dedication. Then you get the suitable framework or form to express that love. You have the bhav of a tiger. You have tiger, vyagra bhav. A tiger, you're a vicious human being, you're a selfish human being. You want to destroy people by your actions. And you just eat flesh and you're a flesh eater, meat eater, non-vegetarian. So then Krishna says, "Oh, this is very nice. You have Vyagra Bhav. You're developing the attitude and Bhav of a tiger. You are a human being, but you're acting like tiger. Living like tiger. Now you have that bhav, I will give you body. I will give you deha, sharir. You die, the next life you become tiger." So the gopis, Shukadeva Goswami, this bhav entered his heart. Then he saw himself in a Sakhi Sarup. Because even Shiv, Lord Shiv, Gopishwar, Mahadev, he wanted to enter the Rasa dance, to see the Rasa dance of Radha and Krishna. But he had Purusha Roop. He had the form of a man. He had the feelings and desire to see. But the Gopi said, you don't have the right form. You're a great bhakta, but you have to get transformed. So the Gopis gave him mercy. Yoga Maya. And the Gopis gave Lord Shiv mercy. Then he received Gopi form. Then he entered the Rasa dance to see. Shukadeva Goswami received Gopi form. And in that Gopi form, the first thing he saw the Gopis running on Abhisar to the Rasa Stali. In his meditation, he saw, there they come. And then as he saw that in his meditation, the gopis are running together with one earring on and some kajal on one eye. Then he started writing the Rasalila. And when he started writing, then everything else is manifest. The Udipan, the setting, and the framework, and the props, and everything about the drama. The rising moon, the blossoming lotus, and jasmine, and Krishna. But first he adopted bhav and form, the gopi bhav of the braja gopis, and the sakhi sarup, the spiritual body of a gopi in his meditation. And then he saw them running. So Shukadev Goswami and Gopeshwar and so many acharyas are saying, to understand, this is the point, to understand the great love of the braja gopis and how they are the highest expression of Parabhakti or Braja Prem, one must get their mercy. How do we get their mercy? I'm not Gopeshwar, and I'm not Shukadev Goswami. How to get the mercy of the Braja Gopis? That's the whole science of Raganuga Bhakti. Raganuga Bhakti, which was propagated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this world 500 years ago, he taught the sadhana, the scientific processes of sadhana to attain the mercy of the gopis of Vrindavan. Anyone who hears the call in their heart, anyone who hears the flute call of Krishna in their heart, becomes inspired by the leelas of Krishna and Vrindavan. He becomes attracted to the sweet, beautiful leelas of Krishna and Vrindavan, then he will run to find out, how can I enter Vrindavan? How can I enter these pastimes of Vrindavan, Gopal Krishna, Makanchur, Rasa Bihari, Julan Bihari? How can I serve this form of Godhead? How can I surrender? Then he will come and learn the science of Raganuga Bhakti from an acharya, from a guru, from a Vaishnava, a Raganuga Bhakta. And then he can learn by their mercy, because they are situated in that Gopi Bhav, and they are worshipping the Gopis, and they are surrendered to the Gopis, and their Guru Parampara are all Gopis and Manjaris. So then when one serves and surrenders, then he will get the mercy of the Gopis, Lalita Sakhi Kripa, Vishaka Sakhi Kripa. And he will get the mercy of Rupa Manjari and Rati Manjari. And then, by that mercy given to him and bestowed upon him by the pleasure of his divine guardian, his Shiksha or Diksha Guru, he will be able to get the mercy of the Sakhis and enter the Rasalila. So wherever you come, from whatever place you come to enter the Rasalila, you can only understand the Rasalila and enter there by the mercy of the Braja Gopis. What's another example? A very big example. Lakshmi Devi. Just see, we're highlighting how this is one of the unique features of the Rasalila, in case you're lost. There's seven features or qualities which make the Rasalila the essence of the whole Bhagavatam. And so this Rasalila shows how the Braja Gopis are the greatest devotees of the Lord, the greatest Shaktis, the greatest consorts of Bhagavan. Now take Lakshmi. Everyone has heard of Lakshmi Devi, Lakshmi Narayan, Lakshmi Narayan Puja. Many very popular in India. In India, they worship Lakshmi Narayan to get money. So this is a very indirect way to get money. In America, they worship money to get money. It makes more sense to worship money to get money. Paisa, rupees. So they're saying, Lakshmi Narayan, please be happy with me, give me money. Dhanam dehi, janam dehi. But they may get or may not. But if you worship money, then you have money, and you're worshiping it, and hopefully get more. A little different. Now Lakshmi Devi, she was attracted to the gopis. She's a great devotee. She's the greatest she's a Madhurya Bhakta of Narayan. She's a divine conjugal consort of Lord Narayan. his patni, his wife. Yet, Lakshmi Devi, she was attracted to Krishna, not the Brajagopis. And she thought that she could attain Krishna's darshan or attain Krishna's seva in Ras Lila, somehow, some connection, by tapasya, austerities, penance. She did not want to surrender or take shelter of the Brajagopis. Ha! They are simply cowherd girls. They are abhira vaishyas, milking cows and Are, I am a Mahishi. I'm a queen. I'm the queen of Vaikuntha. My husband is Vaikunthanath Narayan. He is Lakshmipati. He is my pati. I'm going to go like this and go like this. I'll get my fingernails dirty. My fingernails are finely polished and very long. If I make the gober patties to cook chapatis, I break my fingernail. Never. But I want. I want. So she's an example. She's Shakti. She's Chinmoy Ras. She's Chinmoy. She's made of Chinmoy Ras, spiritual energy. She's in Madhurya Bhav. She has Madhurya Bhav. Bhagavan Madhurya Bhav. Shuddha Bhakti for Bhagavan Narayan. But no entrance. No submission. No permission. No permission. No admission. So unless one submits himself to the Brajagopis and worships them and serves them and begs for their mercy, there is no permission and no admission to the Rasa dance. Lakshmi Devi is still in Vrindavan, in Bailvan, Lakshmivan, underneath a bale tree, eating bale leaves, eating bilva patrakata. She's eating bale leaves, not chapan bhog. She's eating steamed shak, or raw shak. She's not eating ghee fried pakoras. And she's doing tapasya. Om. Om. One time, Yogamaya, the same Yogamaya which we'll hear about, she came to Bailvan. Because Yogamaya, that internal personal potency of Krishna, Yogamaya, her duty is to unite devotees, jivas, with Bhagavan. To unite the jivas with Bhagavan in love. Then there's Mahamaya. We'll talk later about that. So Yogamaya came to Lakshmi Devi. She came to do an interview, a job interview. Have you ever had a job interview? For Yogamaya, she said, Lakshmi, namaste. Lakshmi Devi. What are you doing? I am doing tapasya, here in Vrindavan. Why, may I ask? Because I want to cross the Yamuna. On the other side of the Yamuna, there is Vamshivat, there is the Rasastali, and there is the Rasa dance of Krishna and the Brajagopis. I want to enter there and serve Krishna. He's so attractive. I know he's my Narayan. He's my Lord Narayan in another feature. So there's no breach. There is no breach of Dharma. There's no break in my Dharma. He is my pati. This is my Narayan in a slightly different form. Slightly different form and a supremely attractive form. And a very sweet and charming and funny form. And I really want to serve my Narayan in the form of Krishna. Acha, Tika. Now listen, Lakshmi Devi, now I know the purpose of your austerity, and what is your sankalpa? This is your sankalp, your intention, your mental affirmation, what you desire to attain from your tap, your tapafal, the fruit of your penance. Now, I have to interview you to see if you have the adhikar for the fal which you hope to desire or attain. I have to see whether you have the qualification to receive the fruit that you desire. Here's a paper. You have a pen, Lakshmi Devi? So Lakshmi Devi took out her pen and paper, and Yogamaya said there's 5 questions. First question is this. Lakshmi Devi, are you willing to milk the cows? Are you willing to milk the cows of Vrindavan? Is there multiple choice or do I have to answer it? Is it multiple choice or do I have to answer it? You have to say yes or no, Lakshmi Devi. No! Never! Impossible! Do you know who I am, Yogamaya? Yes, 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 I know. Calm down, relax. You know, queens get hot-headed. All right. Next question. Are you willing to go behind the cow when they go to the pasture with a little scooper and a little basket and pick up the gober daldo, pick up the gober from the cow, the cow dung, and mix it with some busa, mix it with some straw and knead it just like you make chapatis for your husband, you make rotis for Narayan. It's something like that. Something like that. You take the gober and some busa and you mix very nicely. Very, very nicely. It gets everywhere. Everywhere. Inside your nails, everything. And then you break a ball. Pop. Are you willing? Yogamaya, these questions are ridiculous. Acha tika. Now, one other thing. Are you willing to change your clothes? And you're wearing this 50,000 rupee silk sari with gold embroidery everywhere, and you have all these gold ornaments. Are you willing to change into a simple lehengra? You know better than me. Anyway, a simple dress and a veil and a kancholi, choli, and you simply decorate yourself with some flowers. You put some flowers, malati bracelets, you tie some juhi flowers in your hair, and you decorate your body with flowers of Vrindavan, the vana fool, the flowers from the van. And then, are you willing to take the dirt? We have some beautiful dirt here. And some of the dirt in Vrindavan is yellow, pila mitti. And other dirt is black. It's a kalamiti. And some is lalamiti, red color. And some is saffron, kesha rung. So you put these in little dibbas. You collect all these earth powders in little dibbas. Then when Krishna calls you for the rasa dance, you decorate your face with that. Are you crazy? Wear this gopi dress? Like in ISKCON? No. That'll be edited. I will not give up my gold. I will not, because these are the sign. You see these 25 gold bangles? I have 25 gold bangles here and 25 gold bangles here. Each one weighs 200 grams. It's a little heavy. These are the signs that I'm a Dharma Patni. These are the signs that I'm married. And you're telling me I have to throw those off and wear flowers? You're telling me I have to throw out the symbols and signs of a married woman and throw away my bangles, my gold bangles, and wear some mogra flowers around my wrists? Do you know anything about Dharma, Yogamaya? This is irreligious. A wife can never do that. Okay. All right, very good. Now that concludes the test, Yogamaya. Lakshmi Devi. So then Lakshmi Devi was very, very excited about the results. So she said, well, how did I do? How did I answer? How was my test? Yogamaya says, she said, well, I suggest you do some more austerities because you're not fit and you're not qualified to enter Vrindavan and dance with Krishna for many reasons. One is you're attached. You're attached to your Aishvarya, your opulence, and you're attached to your position. Your position, your identity. You're attached to your position. You're attached to your dharma. You're attached to your body. You're attached to all these things. And you're not willing to follow the gopis. Gopi Anugata. Because my dear Lakshmi Devi, you've heard of Lord Shiva. You've heard of Narada Muni. You've heard of Arjuna. You've heard of all these great personalities. They all became gopis to have darshan of Krishna's Leela. Even the famous Arjuna, the Panch Pandavas, in Padma Puran, it tells how he was once with Krishna riding on a chariot in Hastinapur. And he says, Arjuna said, I want to see Padma Puran. Oh, hey Bhagavan. Oh, Sakha. Hey Krishna. Krishnaji. One request. Can you show me your Rasalila? Can I just see it like on this kind of slideshow? Can you show it to me? And Krishna said, no. Parthasarathi. Parthasarathi said, no, impossible. Why is that? Because you're Kshatriya, you're Panch Pandava, Gandiva Raj, Gandiva Dara, the holder of the Gandiva bow. You could never qualify as a Brajagopi. Oh, Bhagavan, please. I'm your friend, please. All right. But if you want to enter the Rasa dance, you must become Gopi. You must have Gopi Rup, form of a Gopi. And I will give you in your heart that feeling, that bhav. Because without bhav, there is no drishti. Go bhav drishti. The vision of love. Love gives a different vision. Envy gives a different vision. If you are envious of someone, you look at them in a particular way. Yes? And if you love someone, you look at them in a different way. It's called bhav drishti. Krishna said, Arjuna, I will give you that bhav, that gopi bhav drishti, so you can see. But first I must turn you into gopi. Arjuna, Gandiva Dhara, he became Arjuniya. Arjuniya Sakhi. And then Krishna showed him, now that he was following the gopis, now that he was appreciating their form and their bhav, then Arjuna, he saw the Rasalila. Just see how the Brajagopis are expressing the highest form of love. Arjuna has to follow the gopis. Lakshmi has to follow the gopis. Gopeshwar Mahadev has to follow the gopis. And there's a pastime where Narada Muni also became a gopi at Kusum Sarovara. What's the conclusion? The Brajagopis are the highest devotees of the Lord. And their glories and their mahima, their loving expression, and the intimacies of their surrendered and dedicated hearts, and the relationship that they have with Bhagavan is revealed in the Rasa Panchadhyaya, the five chapters of the Rasa dance. This is another aspect of how the gopis are the most unique devotees. Now the last quality which makes the Rasalila the essence of the Bhagavatam and makes it so unique is that in the Rasalila reveals and establishes the unique position of Srimati Radhika, Srimati Radharani. What is the extent, the depth, the extent, and the measure of her divine love? It is, one acharya said that the glories of Radharani, of her most incredible divine love, is revealed in the Rasa Lila like the pounding of a kettle drum to make an announcement. When a king in a kingdom wants to make an announcement to his praja, to his citizen, he has a big kettle drum. It's called dundubi. 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 Very big drum made of copper or brass. 6 feet, 7 feet in diameter. Boom, 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 boom. And everybody, oh, here's the news. And then everyone gathers. And then someone comes to the village square in that kingdom and they make announcement. Royal decree. Hiri, hiri, this is the new law of the king. So the Ras Lila is like the beating of a huge kettle drum to proclaim the unique position of Srimati Radharani. The exaltation and the supremacy and the super excellence of her divine, sacred love of God, Bhagavan Sri Krishna Prem. Nirmal Vishuddha Prem, Mahabhav, Madanaikya Mahabhav. And actually, this is very interesting because this is the last, this is 7 points that make the Rasa Lila the essence. Because Acharya said that the Rasa Lila is the essence of the Bhagavatam. So I'm explaining 7 different reasons why it is the unique, so unique, and is the essence. And this is the last essence, number 7, describing Srimati Radharani's divine love. Once my Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, he opened 1 temple in Chicago. Chicago is a city in America, USA. And he named the deities. He named the Thakurji, the Mandir Thakurji. He gave a name. Usually the deities have name Radha Krishna, Sita Ram, Lakshmi Narayan, Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Shyam Sundar, Radha Madhav. Guruji, he named the deities Kishore Kishori, Kishore Kishori, which is an inverted phrase. Generally, everywhere we find that the Shakti precedes the Shaktiman. The Shakti comes before the Shaktiman. Shakti means the Ladini Shakti, the consort of the Lord. First Sita, then Ram. We never... What are the names of these deities? Well, this is Ram Sita Temple. Have you ever heard the Ram Sita Temple? This is the Narayan Lakshmi Temple. This is built by famous industrialists. It's called the Narayan Lakshmi Temple. This is called the Krishna Radha Temple. So Prabhupada, being a Rasik Vaishnav, Param Rasik Vaishnav, and being Mahabhagavat, Param Param Mahabhagavat, and his Bhav Drishti, he saw something special. So that my Guru Bhais, they said, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, we have something very special here. You open so many temples, and everywhere in your temple you have first the Shakti, Radha, Radha Madhav, Radha Govinda, Radha Shyam Sundar, Radha Muralidhar, Radha Gokulananda, Radha Gopi Janavallabha. But here, the Shakti comes last and the Shaktiman comes first. First Purusha, then Prakriti. Prabhupada smiled, a very mischievous smile, like a child. And he had a beautiful, sweet, gopi-like glimmer in his eye. That moisture that comes in the eye when the heart is melted with the cool vibration of prema. When a heart is melted with you can melt from heat and you can melt from cold. Try sitting on dry ice. Sit on some dry ice and you'll watch yourself melt. 240 degrees below zero. So our heart can melt from cool rays. Usually you have hot rays, you put the butter out in the hot rays and it melts. But when the heart melts from the cool rays of Braja Prem, then some moisture comes in the eyes. It's called Prem Ashru. Prem Ashru. And it's cool. Because tears of love are tanda, tanda ashru, cool tears. Tears of envy, tears of hatred, tears of anger, they're hot. The heart is hot, the brain is hot, the tears are hot. So Prabhupada's heart is so soft and so sweet with Braja Prem, Radha Krishna's love, that there was a slight moisture in his eyes and that beautiful gopi-like twinkle and a gentle smile. And he said, and as he spoke this phrase, Prabhupada's smile became bigger because he didn't want to reveal the Bhav Ulas of his heart. Because when he started to glorify his Ishtadevi, when he started to glorify, then he became happier and happier. Actually, we have put Radharani's name last here in this temple. Kishore Kishori. Not Kishori Kishore temple. Kishore Kishori. Because you always save the best thing for last. You always save the best thing for last. So the best thing of any meal is the dessert. Of course, in Gujarat, they eat the dessert first. Gujaratis eat sweets. Generally, people eat the rice, dal, chapati, sabji, pakora, chutney. Then they eat so many sweets. The best thing is the sweets. You ask any child, what do you want to eat? Sabji, dal, give me cake, ice cream, sweets. So this is madaram samapayat. Every meal should end with a sweet. Therefore, this discussion of the seven essences or the seven features that make the Bhagavatam unique, we're ending with Radharani. Shrimati Radharani ki jai. The main theme of the Rasalila is what? What is the theme of this play, this krita, rasa krita, this play? What is the theme, the message, the teaching? It is divine love, sacred love, Bhagavan in love. Usually we think of Bhagavan as the creator, G-O-D. In English, Hindi, or whatever we say, Sanskrit, we say Bhagavan. In English, we say God, he generates and creates everything, Adikarta. And he maintains everything, the Gopta. And he destroys everything, Srishti Pralaya, creation, destruction, G-O-D. God is powerful. God is opulent. God is merciful, compassionate to his devotees. But God is a lover. God is a lover. He's a lumpat even. God is a divine lover. Naturally. God is love. Love is God. What is the greatest form of love? Conjugal love. So, God, this is the theme of the Bhagavatam. Love is the theme of the Bhagavatam, divine love. Rasalila, the main theme of Rasalila, divine love is there. What does it take? What does it take to qualify? What are the entrance examinations to enter the school of prema? We have technology schools and science schools and so many schools. But what does it take? What is the adhikar, a qualification, to enter the school of love, the school of divine love, Krishna Prema? The teachers of the gopis of Vrindavan, which are teaching in the Rasalila, they are the great exemplars. They are the acharyas of love, Premacharya. Like we have our Prem Mandirs and many things we have in Vrindavan. And some people even have Krishna Prem. We know the Mandir is full of Prem. Every Mandir is full of Prem. Why? We don't have to call any Mandir Prem Mandir, do we? Is there love inside the temple? Yes or no? Yes. Why? Because Radha is there and Krishna is there. Every single temple in Brajabhumi is a Prem Mandir. It's very redundant and useless to call your temple Prem Mandir. When you say Radha Govinda Mandir, it means it's a place of love. Krishna's loving Radharani, and Radharani's loving Krishna. And their servitors, the pujaris and the pracharaks and the fundraisers and the cleaners and all the people involved and the Savites of those divine, the divine couple, Radha and Krishna, they are all servants of that love, the divine love of Radha and Krishna. So we are prem Savites. Everyone who lives in a temple or serves the deity, it's a prem mandir. And we're all prem Savites, servants of that love. So this is the main theme. So Radharani, who is Radharani? Is she some random village girl that Krishna fell in love with? Yes and no. That's an interesting answer. Sounds like the way Indians answer questions. We've lived in Vrindavan for 25 years. And for 25 years, whenever I asked an Indian person, I mean, they're very noble, good-natured, happy. I wouldn't live here and become an Indian citizen unless I loved Indians and loved India, especially Vrindavan. So I ask some question that requires simple yes or no, and I get so many answers. It's just because of this and because of that, and this happened, that happened, and my cousin. But I never get a yes or no answer. So after 25 years, I've slightly developing Indian ta, the tendency to be an Indian. But Radharani, she's a cowherd girl. She's a damsel of Vrindavan. She's a gopa, vadu, a young married girl. She's a married lady. She married Abhimanyu Sakha. She's married to a Sakha, to a coward boy. And she's called Brajavadu, Gopivadu. She's young, newly married, only tenderly married, innocently married. First year, second year, just 1 year. This is Gopivadu, Brajavadu. Okay, yes, it appears that she's married to someone. She's born in Barsana, or she's born in Ravel, depending on the kalpa. It's her Janamstan, her place of birth. We go to Barsana, we worship her Janamstan, her Lilastan, her place of birth, her place of pastimes. We go to Ravel, near Gokul. So yes, she is seems like an ordinary village girl, a human, young, teenage woman, girl. The Acharyas say that Radharani is 14 years and 2 months and 15 days old. This is her nitya age, her eternal age. Sweet 14. 14 years old, 2 months and 15 days. She's very young, very playful, very innocent, very attractive. That's true. But now let's look at the other side. No! She's not a village. Radharani's not an apsara. There are some acharyas of major sampradayas who write tikas on Bhagavatam, and they say, this Radharani, she's apsara. She's from apsara loka. She dances, she sings, she plays veena. Just like an apsara, apsari. She is not Bhagavan ka shakti. Bhagavan shakti nahi. She is not the potency of God. Ha! Impossible. These are acharyas, sampradayaka acharyas. That's the exception. But the acharyas like Adi Dev or Adi Guru Brahmaji, he says Radharani is posing as a village girl. She is playing the role in the drama of Ras. This is Ras Leela. It's a drama. In drama, you may be a scientist and play the role of some dacoit in a drama. And you disguise yourself dacoit. So it's a role. You're playing a role. A hero or a heroine. So Radharani appears as a village girl of Vrindavan. But actually, she, according to Lord Brahma in his Samhita, his law book of Lord Brahma, the Adi Guru, he's telling that the Braja Gopis are actually expansions of God. They're Krishna's divine shaktis. Krishna has many unlimited shaktis. Upanishads are explaining. Parasya shaktir vavadaya shuyate sabhaviki jnana bala kriya cha. Parasya shakti many unlimited potencies to carry out his different activities and pastimes of creation and maintenance and enjoyment and sporting and leelas. So many potencies, like Yogamaya Shakti, Mahamaya Shakti, so many Shaktis. The Braja Gopis, and especially Radharani, when Krishna wants to expand his heart, Eko Bahu Sham, when that one Supreme Lord, Absolute Truth, wants to expand into many, he wants to expand into many lovers. Because love alone is not love. You meet people say, I love myself. Well, if you love yourself, then you must love the super self. Yourself is the Atma. And the Atma is naturally in love with the Paramatma. So if you love yourself means you love your body, it means you don't love yourself. So the Braja Gopis are expanded. Radharani is expanded from Krishna's desire to enjoy bliss and love. Ladini Shakti. One of Krishna's unlimited Ananta Shaktis is called Ladini, Haladini, means pleasure, satisfaction, bliss. And what is the greatest pleasure available in this world? Conjugal love, the love between man and woman. And what is the greatest pleasure available in the spiritual world? Conjugal love between God and His pure devotees, between God and His expansion. This is Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabhi. Nija Rupataya. He's saying Nija Rupataya. From his own body he expanded into Radharani. And he saw that Radharani was so beautiful and so charming. Radharani is God, is His expansion, His Shakti, His potency. Totally divine. She's appearing in Barsana, looking like a village girl, making gober patties, milking cows. It's all for the pleasure of Krishna. He wants to enjoy Nara Leela, human-like Leelas, as a coward boy. Krishna comes as a Kshatriya. He comes as a Brahmin. He comes so many forms he comes. He comes as a Vaishya, a coward boy. He's a darling, beautiful coward boy of Vrindavan. So Radharani is Krishna's personal Shakti. She's not mundane. She's not material. She's not, her body is spiritual. This is who Radharani is. Because this is a section. Who is Radharani? Then Radharani, because she understands, she's expanded. Radharani is expanded from the heart of Krishna. The embodiment, the personification of Krishna's Ladini Shakti. Shakti takes form. The form is Srimati Radharani. The form of divine love, the form of conjugal love, love divine, is Radharani. And because Radharani has expanded from Krishna's heart, then she knows the heart of Krishna because she originates in his heart. No one knows your mind better than your mind. No one knows your mind better than your mind. And you should mind your mind. We should control our minds. Krishna says in Gita, the mind, this mind can be our best friend. Our bandhu, our priya bandhu. The mind can be our priya bandhu, our best friend, dear friend. Or the mind can be our worst enemy. Adi, man adi, can be our enemy. The mind can create so many disastrous, negative, sinful, painful desires. So, Radharani comes from Krishna's heart, his chit. His chit shakti is his heart, his consciousness, his one energy, personal energy. Sarup shakti of Krishna, antaranga shakti. She comes from his heart. So she knows the heart of Krishna more than anyone. She's such a pure devotee, such an exalted, transcendental, divine personality and lover of Bhagavan. Bhagavan Kapremi, Krishna Premi. She knows what he desires before he desires it. Radharani knows what Krishna wants before he wants it. And Radharani does what Krishna wants before he asks for it. This is the glory and power of Radharani's divine love. So exalted, so unbelievable and astonishing. And because Radhika, Radharani, She's come from Krishna's heart. She knows his heart. And she knows, Radharani knows, that Krishna loves me the most. But Krishna wants to express his love to me in many, many different ways. Krishna has a desire in his heart to love me and serve me in many different ways. So now, to please him and to serve him in return and to love him, I will expand my Ladini Sarup, my Chinmay Sarup, I will expand into many thousands of gopis. So Radharani then expanded her form, her Chinmaya Rup, Ananda Chinmaya Ras, Ananda Chinmaya Rup, Ananda, Aladani, Anand. In India, everyone always says, Aaj ke Ananda ki, Jai. Aaj ke Ananda ki. They say, Ananda. You have to say like that. Aaj ke Ananda ki. Anand, and then another thing they say is, Ananda Kanda Bhagavan ki, Jai. Her Radharani's direct bodily expansions are known as Kaya Vyuha. Kaya Vyuha. Lalita Sakhi. Vishaka, Rangadevi, Sudevi, Champak, Chitra, all the Asha Sakhis, and the thousands of Sakhis, and the millions of Sakhis. In the Padma Puran, it's telling there's thousands of Sakhis dancing, millions of Sakhis. These are all Radharani. And Radharani doesn't stop there. She doesn't stop expanding her love. She doesn't... Bhagavan, Shaktiman, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, he has Anantarupam. Ananta Rupam, unlimited forms in all different planes of spiritual reality. He has unlimited forms even in this world. Unlimited forms in Vaikuntha. Unlimited forms in Dwarka. Unlimited forms in Mathura. Unlimited forms in Vrindavan. Unlimited forms in Goloka Vrindavan. Ananta Rupam. And his Shakti, his Prakriti, Radharani, she likewise expands herself into unlimited forms. Ananta Rupam. Ananta Rupam Shakti. Ananta Rupam Shaktiman. Because they must be together. Shakti and Shaktiman. If Krishna is there, he must be served. And she's the greatest servant. When Krishna, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, expands himself, his Vyuha, he expands into Balaram and his Sandini Shakti for various purposes of creation and existence, manifesting different personalities and manifesting different spiritual planes of existence for different leelas and purposes. Then Balaram expands Chaturvyuha in the Mool Sankarshan. Then Krishna expands as Vasudev. Then Krishna expands as Narayan and all the thousands of Narayans. So as Krishna expands, Radharani expands. If the husband goes this way, the wife follows behind. Husband goes out the door, the wife follows behind. Because they're inseparable. The Shakti, Shaktiman, they're never separated. So when Krishna expands himself, Kalamshas and Prakash forms, and Radharani expands herself. Radharani, when Krishna goes to Dwarka, and expands himself in Chaturbhuj Narayan form, Dwarkadish, and sometimes two arms, Dwibhuj. Radharani expands as the Dwarka Mahishis. This is Radharani. Satyabhama Mitravinda, Rukmini, Rukmini Devi, Rukmini Mahishi. They are expansions of Radharani. And then go to another plane beyond Dwarka is Vaikuntha with all the Vaikuntha Lokas, Narayan Loka. And there's so many Narayan forms, 24 major forms of Narayan, and so many Leela avatars. And then Radharani expands as the Shaktis, as their consorts. It's all Radharani. So just see this Adya Shakti, Radharani, how significant is her position, how transcendental, how divine, how spiritual. She is as transcendental, as totally pure and spiritual as Bhagavan Sri Krishna himself. Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. She is Swayam Shakti. Krishna is Bhagavan. She is Bhagavati. Bhagavati Radha. Bhagavan Krishna. This is the glories of Radharani. And Radharani is the chief. She's the main. She's the Mukhya Sakhi. Mukhya. She's the Pradhan. She's the main Sakhi of all of Vrindavan. All of Krishna's lovers, all of his divine lovers, his Nayakas, Radharani is the chief. She is the main, principal one. In fact, she even teaches the other Sakhis how to sing, how to dance. And sometimes the Sakhis, they say, how is it that you know you never went to music school? You never went to Sandipani Muni school. You didn't study with anyone in this universe. How do you know music? Veena and dancing. How do you know? And she said, I just know. Because all the kalas, the 64 arts, kala, they're automatically manifest in the form of Srimati Radharani. She is a, what do you say, a Sangeet Visharad. That's the term. Radharani is Ati Sangeet Visharad. She is expert in all music and dance, and especially in transcendental romance. Music, dance, and spiritual romance. This is the Rasalila. And she is the perfect gopi from the Rasalila. And we can see, when we study the Rasalila, Krishna plays his flute, and all the gopis come, and they gather around Krishna. Then there's some separation. And Krishna, he leaves all the Sakhis. All the thousands, in Padma Puran says, millions of Sakhis came from the Maharas dance. Maharas. And Sharad Purnima. And of all those millions, Krishna was thinking, there's millions of beautiful girls here, more beautiful than the greatest Swarga Devis, or the greatest celestial damsels all over the universe. But I want to be with Radharani. Krishna made an arrangement, so he left the Rasa dance with one Sakhi, Radharani, not her expansion, Lalita, no other Sakhi. Just see how Radharani is the chief of all the Sakhis. He chose her to leave the Rasa dance. In the Rasa dance, in Padma Puran, Radharani is glorified. And she is called Krishna Mayi. Krishna Mayi. Mayi. Mayi means that she's super saturated with Krishna. Super saturated. Sounds like an advertisement for washing detergent. Super concentrated liquid soap. One drop will wash the universe. One drop. We also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to distribute super saturated concentrated soap. What is it? The Hare Krishna Mahamantra. You simply chant one name, Shuddhanam, pure name of Krishna. Then, Safo Jaga. Everything's clean. Your whole heart, Chaito Darpana Marjanam. All the lust, anger, greed, everything will be Marjan. Cleansed from the heart. Cleanse from the heart, cleanse from the mind. We'll have pure mind. Pure mind and pure heart. Transparent. You'll see what the reality of the soul. You'll see the reality of a pure mind. You'll see the reality of Krishna Prem through the eyes of a pure heart. This is super concentrated. So Krishna Mayi Radha. She is super saturated with Krishna. She, wherever Radharani looks, she doesn't see the world. She doesn't see Dwarasavan, Kalindi, Jamuna. She sees Krishna everywhere. She sees Krishna everywhere. And Gita, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling Arjuna, Yo mam pashati sarvatra, sarvam chai mi pashati. Yo mam pashati sarvatra. He says in Gita, 6th chapter of Gita, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, Bhagavan said, for one who sees me everywhere and sees me in everything, I am never lost to him and he is never lost to me. One who sees Krishna everywhere. This is Radharani. This Gita verse When Krishna spoke this Gita verse in Kurukshetra 5,000 years ago, he was thinking of Radharani and speaking to Arjuna. He was thinking of the example and speaking the precept. He was thinking, yes, Radharani sees me everywhere. Yes, Radharani is Krishnamayi. She sees me everywhere. Arjuna, you should see like this. Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam cha mayi pashyati. Pashyati. Pashyami. Means manifest, to see. Mam. Me is manifest. I am manifest. To whom? To the Premi Bhakta. If there's no prema, there's no drishti. Remember, we discussed. If there's no bhav, there's no bhav drishti. We're talking about bhav drishti. Imagine Radharani's ak. Her ak. What does she see? She doesn't even see the reality of the objects of this world. There's a tree. There's Krishna. Oh, an ordinary person will say, hey, are Saki? There's a tamal briksh. There's a tamal tree. No, it's Shyam. Can't you see? Can't you see the peacock feather and his crown and his yellow dhoti? And she runs and she embraces the tamal tree. And when she's in viraha, when Radharani's in viraha, separation, viraha bhav, separation from her beloved Shyam, she sees a tree and she sees Krishna. This is pure devotion. Bhav drishti. Bhav drishti? No. Prem. Braja prem drishti. Krishna prem drishti of Radharani. So she's Krishnamayi, she sees Krishna everywhere. What do we see everywhere? Money, women, men, style, fashion, Maya, to sum it up. The external energy, the Bahiranga Shakti of Krishna, the Maya, Maya Shakti. Radharani, she's Krishnamayi. She sees Krishna in everything and everything in Krishna. She sees Krishna in her heart. There are bhajans. There are songs glorifying Radharani. They say Radharani is seeing Krishna in front of her. She's seeing Krishna behind her. Vaya Krishna, Dhaya Krishna, Age Krishna, Piche Krishna, Upar Krishna, Niche Krishna, Andar Krishna, Bhar Krishna. Sabdig. Sabdig Krishna Darshan. Every direction I see Krishna. I see Krishna. I remember Krishna. I feel love for Krishna. I want to express my love in every direction. This is Krishnamayi. Krishnamayi means made of Krishna, saturated with Krishna. Her every thought indeed is Krishna. The Rasik Janas, the Rasik Vaishnav, they pose a question. Why is Srimati Radharani's kesh black? Why is her hair jet black, as black as the Amavasya, the dark moon night? Darkness means mystery. Darkness means enchantment. Darkness means many things. But a Rasik Acharya say Radharani's hair, this is Rasik Vichar. The consideration or the examination or the understanding of something on the basis of ras. Divine love. Sentiments of pure love of God. Radharani's hair, her beautiful kesh, her hair, tied in a beautiful bani and intertwined with jasmine flowers and bakul flowers, very fragrant, very beautiful, going down her back. Radharani's hair is black. Why it's black in color? Because her mind is absorbed. Radharani's every cell in her mind is absorbed in Sham Ras. Sham Prem Ras. Her every thought, with her every single thought, and everyone knows how many thoughts you can think. Have you ever counted your thoughts? Have you ever counted your thoughts? Is it possible? Can you count the oceans on the waves on the ocean? Impossible. Can you count the stars in the sky? Impossible. Can you count the grains of sand on the banks of the Yamuna, a Yamuna Pulin? Impossible. Can you count the number of thoughts we have? Impossible. And how many of those countless unlimited thoughts, Ananta Chinta or whatever it is, how many of those have remembered Krishna, have thought about Krishna? Well, I can't remember when I last thought about Krishna. Bhagavan Smaran. I think it was 5 lifetimes ago. 5 lifetimes prior or previous, I think I thought about Krishna once. Her hair is black because Shamras, her brain, her mind, her whole chitta, she's thinking thousands and thousands of thoughts. And all those thoughts are full of Shamras. And because her mind is full of Shamras, Sham, Ganasham, like a dark monsoon cloud. Because her mind is full of these thoughts, thoughts for seva, ideas and desires and thoughts, how to serve my beloved, how to serve my Priyatam, how to please my Priyatam Sham, how to satisfy him. I can do this, and I can do that. And I can move like this, and speak like this, and act like this, and I can cook this for him, and make this garland for him, and this gunjamala. And I can tell him these funny jokes, and I can tell him riddles. And I can make different mudras when I dance, and I can ask him, what mudra is this? Oh, that's swan mudra. What mudra is that? That's needle mudra. So many different mudras. And he has to guess what they are. So these are every single thought of my thousands and unlimited thoughts, like us, is thinking of pleasing Sham, Krishna. So therefore her mind is full of Sham Ras, and when her hair comes out, it's black, because Sham Ras is the color of Sham. This is why they say Radharani is like this. She sees Krishna everywhere. This is Krishna Mayi. Another quality which distinguishes Radharani and highlights the supreme purity and the pristine quality of her divine sacred love is her total dedication to the pleasure of Krishna. Absolutely dedicated. She's dedicated to the point where she has lost her separate existence. In India, they have some phrase about married couples. They say, Do Sharir Ek Atma. Do Sharir Ek Atma. One Sharir means one body, the wife's body. I am the wife. This is my form. This is my husband. It's his form. Sharir. Do Sharir Ek Atma. We are two bodies and one soul. We are two bodies and one heart. We are two bodies with one desire, two bodies with one feeling. That is completely, absolutely wrong. It is a great phrase, and it's totally wrong, absolutely wrong, illogical, unreasonable, non-shastric, and foolish, but it's romantic. It does the job, at least for the first year of marriage. Then after the first year of marriage, you realize that actually we are Do Sharir, Do Atma, Do Icha, Do Mind, Do Man, two minds. We are two minds, like some people say they're double-minded. And if you're not, get married. If you're not married and you think you're double-minded, then get married and you will be double-minded. Total dedication to the pleasure and happiness of God. This is the standard of divine love. This is the standard of Bhagavan Prem, Bhagavat Prem. Nothing short of this, nothing more, nothing less. Total dedication. Don't hold back anything. Then Prabhupada tells this story, one Kraupati. He comes to Vrindavan. He meets a guru. He says, Oh Guruji, I am surrendering. I want to surrender. I am surrendering to you. Guru Samarpan, I'm surrendering your lotus feet. And he goes like this. I brought all my wealth. I brought all my money to give to you. Here. Take all my money. It's yours. I want to give everything. I want to become this Kinshin. No more money, no more business, no more Kraupati family. I want to be your Sadshishya, your eternal surrendered servant. And please bless me with divine tattva and love of God Save me, I'm drowning in this material ocean. So he offers everything he has. And Guruji said, oh, this is very nice. After so many lakhs and lakhs of janams, lakhs and lakhs of births, you're surrendering to God. This is very good. You're surrendering to me. You're following my Gita. My Gita says, my Gita Upadesh, my instructions of Gita says everything. Sarvadharma Prityaj, Tyaj, Tyagi, renunciation, Vairagi, Vairagya. Sarvadharma, you're giving up everything. Wonderful. And you're taking full shelter of me. Eka Sharanam, Mam Ekam Sharanam. You have no other shelter. Now everyone says, money is my shelter. My shelter is money. Paisa, rupees. If I have money, I have power. Control. Lordship. I have money. Watch what I do with it. I am God. Ishwaraham aham bogi. Siddham balavan sukhi. Krishna is telling you, this is Asura Sampat. Ishwaraham aham bogi siddham balavan sukhi. I am the controller of everything. What? Look, I can do anything. My name is whatever. I won't mention any names. I'm a very wealthy man. I can make people jump and dance and fly in the sky. I can control whole countries. I can control the world. This is Ishwara. But you surrender. No more I have shelter of money, name, fame, money. I have Bhagavan is my only shelter. Krishna's telling one shelter. This is Bhagavad Gita. Not, I've taken shelter of God, but I also have 500 crores in the bank. I'm really a surrendered soul. I'm really Mantan Samarpan. I'm Mantan Bhagavan Samarpan. That's sure. Mantan, your mind, your tanu, your body. But there's one thing missing, sir. Oh, that. Dan, mantan dan. You should surrender your mind and your body, which means everything, and your money. So meanwhile, back to the Kraurpati, the king of Vrindavan, to surrender to a guru. He said, Guruji, take everything I have. I'm surrendered. Eka Sharanam, Bhagavan Sharanam, Guru Sharan. Guruji said, very nice. I'm very happy. But I have one question. What is behind your back? Why is your other hand behind your back? What is back there? It's nothing really important. Look here. Look at this hand. So many lakhs. Look, you can't count. There must be 20 lakhs there. Acha, 20 lakhs. Oh, I can do nice service here. And then, but how much do you have behind your back? Oh, that. Well, that's just this little bit. It's 250 crores. 250 crores that I'm keeping behind my back. But I'm surrendering, Guruji. Acha. What do you intend to do with that 250 crores? Oh, that's for my wife. That's for my wife and my kids. And besides, you're Lakshmipati. You're Lakshmipati, so you don't need 20 crores is enough. This is not full surrender. This is not total dedication. So Radharani is totally dedicated and totally surrendered to the will of Krishna and the happiness of Krishna. Now, we've heard about her identity, Srimati Radharani's divine, transcendental, spiritual identity, which is described and identified by Adi Guru, Lord Brahma, in his law book, and in the Bhagavad Puran, and so many other Veda Shastras, although it's sometimes in esoteric places. But she is Krishna's eternal divine Shakti and consort. But there's something more than that. What makes her so special, so unique, is that her very form, Radharani's transcendental, her body. Yes, it's a young girl's body, 14 years old. So beautiful, playful. But she is compressed loveliness. She is so lovely and so beautiful and so charming that Krishna can never forget Radharani. He always remembers Radharani. And Radharani is part of his heart. Even Krishna leaves Vrindavan and he goes to Mathura. And he stays for some time. Then he goes to Dwarka and stays for a long time. 80, 90 years he's staying in Dwarka. And he's with all the queens of Dwarka. Yet, although he's surrounded, he has 16,108 queens and 16,108 palaces. And each queen, he produced children, 10 sons and one daughter. And Haribo, Radharani, as I mentioned, cannot be removed from Krishna's heart at any time. Even when he goes off to Dwarka or Mathura. When he's in Dwarka, although, as I explained, he's surrounded by so much opulence, grandeur, golden chariots and golden palaces and golden decorated wives who are his consorts and queens, his shaktis, Rukmini, Satyabhama. And he sleeps on a gold bed with a canopy of silk over the bed, surrounded by the most costly pearl, strings of pearls. And he's fanned by servants, fanned by Rukmini sometimes. And sometimes he falls asleep and Krishna dreams. Dwarkadish, Krishna. And when he's dreaming, his mind flies to Vrindavan. It flies to Varsana, to Yavat Gram. He starts seeing Radharani in his dreams. He starts remembering Radharani. Then his heart starts melting. And he starts crying. And he can't control himself. So Bhagavan, Dwarkadish, was actually Krishna, Vrindavan. Then he starts speaking his heart. Sometimes people have this phrase, speak out your heart. Speak out your heart. What do you really want to say? So he can't, our hearts cannot be controlled when they're melting in love. So when he remembered, when Dwarkadish remembered Radharani, when he was lying there, then he started saying, Radha, 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 Radha. And Rukmini was there with him, his queen. And she's hearing coming from her husband's mouth, Radha, Radha, Radha. Even in Dwarka, Krishna is remembering Srimati Radharani. You can understand how powerful is her love. How tender and charming and beautiful and ravishingly attractive is her form. Such her form and her bhav, her rupam and her bhav, are inseparable. They're one. Her form is mahabhav. Radharani's body is transcendental love, compressed transcendental love. In its highest expression, Mahabhav, Mahabhav Sarupini Radha. So much so that she captivates the heart of Krishna. She controls the mind of Krishna. She enters deeply into Krishna's heart, so deep she can never come out. And the analogies that the Acharyas give, they say that Radha and Krishna are as inseparable as fire and heat. Ice and cold, or ice and coolness, and flowers and fragrance. And just the fragrance of Radharani's body, when it's carried by the wind, like the fan, when the fragrance of Radharani is described in Vilap Kusumanjali by Raghunath Goswami Pad, Das Goswami Pad, he's explained that Krishna is maybe with his coward boys, and he's playing Veno, and he's tending the cows, Gocharan Leela. And Radharani is somewhere with the Sakis collecting water, Jal Seva. Because you know, today, in Varsana, and different places in the village, as now, as then, Radharani lived a village life, raised in a village, in Gaon. Gaon Kowali, Varsani Wali Radhe, Varsani Wali. As you know, in the villages in India, there are separate kuas, separate wells. There are some for washing karapani or bitter water or minerals. Some wells have very, very sweet water, like Amrit Jal. Very, very sweet. So the gopis, they would go, and still today in the villages, the village ladies, the young married ladies, they get together and they go in a group with water pots on their heads. Classic painting of the gopis, carrying pani kumbha on their sheer, on their heads, and they're walking. So Radharani and the Sakis were on the banks of the Yamuna. They were collecting water, because Yamuna water is so sweet, and they're using it also for puja. In Barsana, there's one well in Barsana that's in Radha Bagicha. There's one Bagicha called Radha Bagicha. It's her, Radharani's garden. And in that garden, there's Radharani Kua, Radhika Kua. And it's very sweet. Radharani used to go there to collect water and collect that water and cook for Krishna with that water. When she's in Barsana and also in Yavatgram. Special well. So this is the quality. I'm just saying how inseparable. So I was telling about when the fans came out, it reminded me of Radharani's fragrance. But I said, the analogy we use, is that Radha and Krishna are as inseparable as flowers and their fragrance. If you have a flower, you have a fragrance. If you have ice, you have coolness. If you have fire, you have heat. So Radharani is the heat in the Krishna fire. Radharani is the coolness in the Krishna ice. And Radharani is the fragrance in the Krishna flower. Her fragrance, what is the prabhav, the Gandha prabhav, the power of Radharani's aroma, of her transcendental form, the sweetness, the effect and power of the fragrance from Radharani's body. Das Goswami is telling that Radharani was collecting water from the Yamuna. Krishna was nearby playing with the cows. And some wind blew off the Yamuna, as the wind is blowing off the Yamuna, called this panka, this fan, and carried the fragrance in the direction of Krishna when he's with the coward boys. And when Krishna was playing his flute, he was amusing himself as he always does. He's a very amusing lord. He's a lord of play, fun and play, frolic and fun. Krishna is the lord of frolic and fun, play and games, dancing, singing, eating, jumping, everything. So he's amusing himself, playing some tunes on his flute, and some suckas and coward boys are surrounding. They're also playing their flutes. They have pan pipes. They take some leaves from the tree and they fold them in a certain way. Village boys know this art today. It's called pan pipe. And they fold the leaves and they go, phew, makes like a whistling sound. So coward boys are playing pan pipes and venos. And Krishna's absorbed and playing with his boyfriends, coward boys. And suddenly the fragrance of Radharani's beautiful form. What does Radharani's form smell like? What is that fragrance? That fragrance is like naturally, her body naturally smells like kasturi, musk, and naturally smells like camphor, and naturally smells like aguru and blue lotus. Very beautiful. Different parts of Radharani's transcendental form, they emit different beautiful, sweet, attractive fragrances. So therefore, Radharani is the fragrance in the Krishna flower. And when Krishna, what is the effect? What is the prabhav of Radharani's divine, her Divya Gandha, the divine fragrance of Radharani's transcendental Chinmoy Rupam, spiritual body and spiritual divine form. What is the fragrance? What is the prabhav? Krishna is playing his flute with the coward boys. First, he drops the flute. The flute falls out of his hands. Huh? Are? Kya kare? What happened? Kya hua? What happened? My Vansuri fell. And then his turban, His pagari starts doing chakra. It's going around like this. Whoop, whoop, whoop. And it flies off his head. If that's not enough, are you ready? This is the grand finale. This is the climax of the story. And simply Radharani, she doesn't even know what her effect is. This is actually true everywhere. Every woman doesn't know how much she affects men. She simply walks down the street, and so many men go, whoa. She doesn't care the least bit, a mundane modern woman. She just prances down the street, and then so many men look at her, oh, wow. They get agitated, they get attracted, they get disturbed. She doesn't even know about it. Her mind is on her duties, her mind is elsewhere. So similarly, Radharani, she doesn't know how much Krishna is getting agitated. Or does she? You have to answer that in your bhajan. Your bhajan will answer the question. Does Radharani know how much her fragrance agitates Krishna, or does she not? Does she know he has dropped his flute, or does she not? Because he's far away. He's out of her vision. She's at the Yamuna. He's in the Goshta, in the pasture grounds. And the wind is carrying. The grand finale is that Krishna is smelling that fragrance and he's becoming intoxicated. He's becoming mudda, mrigamudda. Mrigamudda, he's becoming mad after that fragrance. That's my Radharani. No other gopi, no other sakhi smells like Radharani. That divya gandha. I'm becoming mesmerized by that fragrance. I'm becoming hypnotized by that fragrance. I'm becoming immobilized by that fragrance. I'm becoming murk. I'm becoming murk by that fragrance. I'm feeling faint. The grand finale is, as Krishna keeps smelling Radharani's fragrance, his dhoti falls off. Ananda Kanda Bhagavan Ki Jai 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 Shri Radhe Shyam.